Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can meet, even if we can't meet in person, we can meet in spirit. And Lord, we just pray right now that we would, you would make your word a rhema word to us right now, the word we need, a word in season. And we thank you for your word, we thank you for your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a great time to ask us where our security is. John 2:23-24 is where Jesus was starting to become very popular, and he said, "Now, while he was in Jerusalem," that is Jesus, "at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them." Another word for entrust is put security in. Jesus only had his security in the Father. One of the Psalms that God kind of pulled out for me, probably June last year, if not before that, again, was Psalm 91. I've drawn a lot of comfort from that in the last 6 months, maybe a bit longer than that, especially in the last few weeks. And so I just want to spend a bit of time looking at Psalm 91. So if you've got it there with you, you might want to look at it as I go, again, go through this message. You will see that I'll pull different verses out along the way. I'm not going to be able to give it absolute, get everything out of it, but there's a few thoughts I want to draw out. This morning I want to talk about intimate trust in a powerful God. Psalm 91's a great psalm. And so my first point this morning, what is real security comes from intimate trust in a very big God. Verses 1 and 2, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Real security, from what we read in this psalm, comes from an intimate trust. The picture here, "He who dwells," is painting a picture of two people giving deliberate effort and attention to living together in the same house, but not just living together in the same house, but living in peace and unity in that house. Reminds me of when we become a Christian, we invite Jesus into our lives, but then do we live with him with peace and unity, or do we pull against him all the time? To have the protection we need to dwell, we need to be in unity with him. We need to allow him to have his way, and not just have him live in our house, but have him live in our house with peace and unity. The psalmist quickly goes to his own testimony. He says, "I will say he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." It's not a knowledge about God that the psalmist has, but a knowing of God through a personal, intimate relationship. You could say a personal connection. And security comes not just through close personal connection, but it's related to what the security is in. I can try and have, and I think some people maybe do, have a close personal connection with their car or with their bank account. I can try to have a close personal connection with a number of things, even with people, but it won't bring about the rest that the psalmist is talking about here. It's because his connection with God is the God, he says it here, and he used three terms I want to just draw your attention to. One is the Most High. That puts everything into perspective. The Most High means above all others. Ephesians 4:6 says, "We serve God, the one God and Father of all, who is over all." God being the Most High means he is the ultimate authority. There's no one with more authority than God. Secondly, it refers to God as Almighty or Shaddai. This refers to God as completely nourishing, satisfying, and supplying his people with all their needs, just as a mother would her child. We have a picture here of a God who freely gives nourishment and blessing. In other words, he is our sustainer, El Shaddai. Also, the other reference is made to the word that we, in the Hebrew, is called Yahweh. Now, this is the God of the covenant, the God who isn't going anywhere. He's not going to bail when it gets tough. He's a God of commitment, the God who can be trusted to stick around, the God who can be relied on. No wonder the psalmist had peace. No wonder he found rest in the shadow of the Almighty, because he understood who the Almighty was. He understood how much authority he had. He understood how powerful he was. He understood that he could be trusted. Now let's go on to see what this protection or security looks like. The psalmist goes into great detail to show us what this security or protection looks like. My second point this morning is security in God is extensive, personal, and supernatural. Extensive, personal, and supernatural. The protection he offers is, God offers, is extensive. The psalmist in verses 3 to 6 describes dangers that are unseen, the type where the strong are as vulnerable as the weak. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? He refers to things that attack the mind or the body, some through human sources and others through non-human sources. For example, the foul snare signifies that which entangles our affairs. Coronavirus could fit into a number of those. But the word pestilence certainly gets our attention, doesn't it? But God's protection is not only extensive. In other words, it covers a whole range of things that come against us. It's not only extensive, but it's personal. To you, it will not draw near, is a phrase that means exact minute providence. In other words, God comes through just at the right minute. I've been reflecting this week on all the times God has saved my life. That's not a bad thing to do. There's been a lot, actually, when I think about it. And they're just the ones I know about. But I was remembering of a time when I was looking for an apprenticeship and my dad was driving me to Brisbane for an interview from the Sunshine Coast. And on the way home, I'd nodded off and my head was on the window and I'd gone to sleep. And as I woke up, you know, your eyes open first. I just opened my eyes and as I looked, glanced out the window, I could see truck wheels. And then I noticed the truck wheels were coming closer and closer to the car. And I thought, I better check how Dad's doing. And I looked over and sure enough, he's having a snooze. And so, you know, I said, hey, Dad, wake up. He redirected the car. We're okay. We're both living today to tell the story. But what if I hadn't woken up at that precise moment? That is what the psalmist is talking about, exact minute providence. It will not draw near to you. And God's protection is not only personal, it's not only extensive, it's supernatural. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. In verse 13, the picture here highlights that there's powerful, formidable foes. Talks about the young lion, the cobra, saying, it's painting the picture that our enemies are big, they're formidable, they're scary, they can be overwhelming. But it goes on, it's really trying to say that we're not just, God just doesn't help us survive these enemies, but to win the victory over them, to flourish, not just survive, but to be victorious and to flourish. So the psalmist describes in detail what this protection is like, but he also explains what intimate trust looks like. And my third point this morning is intimate trust is loving God, knowing God, and asking God for help. Loving God, knowing God, and asking God for help. Looking at verses 14 and 15, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. So what does intimate trust look like? The protection sounds great. I need that. We all need that, especially at the moment. But we also need to know what it looks like to trust. You say, oh, I trust God. Well, what does that trust look like? What's it supposed to look like? What did it look like for the psalmist? Well, this is what it looked like. The trust the psalmist speaks about is one that flows out of a loving relationship. Not just God loving us, but him loving God, us loving God. In the phrase, because he loved me, love for God looks like not waiting for a feeling to come, but simply choosing to think and act towards God in ways that most express and build love. In other words, we don't wait till we feel like worshipping. We don't wait till we feel like spending time in the Word and prayer. We choose to worship. We choose to spend time in the Word and in prayer. We choose to obey. Feelings may follow. Fruit definitely follows. But love is first and foremost a choice to do what God asks of us, choices that show that we love him. And not only does this trust look like love, it looks like intimate knowledge. For he acknowledges my name, the phrase says in verse 14. Not just a knowledge about someone, but a relational knowing. When I was 12, I used to love cricket, I used to play a little test match on the dining room table with my mate down the road. I used to play cricket in the backyard, I used to watch cricket. I could tell you all the names of the Australian cricket team. I could tell you the bowlers, the batsmen, what they were good at, what kind of bats they used. I could tell you everything about them. I used to watch religiously them play, every nation in the world that they used to play. Loved cricket, knew all this stuff about the Australian cricket team, but I hadn't met one of them. I didn't know any one of them. I knew about them, but I didn't know them. Sometimes I read material by people, religious material or so-called Christian material by people who have a lot of knowledge about God. But I prefer to read what's been written by those who have truly met him and have encountered him, not just studied him. This is what the psalmist is talking here about. When it says, for he acknowledges my name, it's not a knowledge of God, it's a knowing of God, isn't it? It's a connection, a relationship with God. Two people who have met and have a strong, close and intimate relationship. And finally, this intimate trust consists of the humility that asks for help. He who calls on my name. Lots of people find it easier to give than to receive. Yes, you heard me right. I know it's better to give than to receive, but a lot of people find it easier to give than to receive. To ask for help, to acknowledge need can be one of our downfalls. I believe this can be caused by the same pride that separates us from God and others. People ask us, how are you today? Good? Do you need anything? No, I'm okay. Right, thanks. Even if we do need something, we pretend we don't. We would rather pretend to have it together than admit our need. Intimate trust that brings about the protection of the Almighty is trust that calls on his name. And it calls on his name as a first option, not a last resort. The psalmist has example for us intimate trust in a God he knew, that he had met. A God with whom he dwelt, a God that was big enough and powerful enough to cause him to rest. As we go into our appeal song, I want you to think about this. Shelter in verse 1 can be interpreted, actually most accurately, I believe, interpreted as secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. If it's a secret, how do we find it? I believe the key to the secret place is Jesus Christ himself. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the gate. See, he is the way to the secret place. Through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, our independence, our rebellion, our pride, so that we could be reconnected with God. He rose again that we may have life. When we believe in who he is and what he's done for us, we can find access to the place of the Most High. We can find security that is not of this world. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray now as we just spend some time meditating on what we've just heard. We pray, Lord, that our trust in you may go to a whole deeper level if it needs to. Maybe, Lord, there's those out there who never given their lives to you. We pray, Lord, that they may consider surrendering their lives to you, putting their trust in you for the first time. Lord God, we thank you that you are a trustworthy God, that you are the Most High. We thank you, Lord, that you are Almighty and that you're a personal God. You care for us. You're committed to your people. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.